morning, everyone. Nice to see you all here this morning. Nice to have some visitors with us. Just a quick reminder before we start our service, if you have any prayer requests you want to bring up, we're doing prayers at the end of the service today. I'm messing things about a bit. But there are sheets at the back if you want to, at some point, sneak to the back and just fill in a form with a prayer request and then wave it at me. It'll all go nice and smoothly, I'm sure. But welcome to our service today. Welcome to those joining us on Zoom. Let's just let our last couple of people come in and then we will open with prayer. Sorry, I've made them all turn around and look at you, sorry. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for this new day. Thank you for gathering us together to worship you in this place this morning. Would you bless our time together? May we meet with you. May we hear your voice. May we rejoice in your presence. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to start off nice and early with a time of singing. And during this song, we decided at our last church meeting we're going to go back to taking up an offering. So I have offering bags. If you haven't come prepared for the offering, that's fine. Feel free to let the bag pass you by. Natalie, you said you were going to come and do it for me. If she can get off her phone for long enough. Caitlin confused, so I think I'm after an adult to do the other one. I normally get the kids doing it. So it's just our normal offering, but instead of having the box at the front, we're doing the bags like we used to do. In the olden days, pre-COVID, you know. If you haven't caught anything, feel free just to let it go. Let's sing together. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Thank you.
one of the advantages of doing offerings in collection bags is that I remember to pray for it. Because it's been very rare over the last 2 years for me to think of praying for the offering when it's just in a box. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for all that you have given to us. We thank you for sustaining us over the last couple of years and for continuing to bless us. Father, would you bless these gifts that have been given to you? Would you enable them to be used wisely for your glory in this place, in this community? Lord, bring glory to your name. Amen. We talked last week about leadership and following. Can anyone remember what kind of leader we said Jesus was? See, it's always tricky, isn't it, when you ask something, what did I say last week? And everyone goes completely blank. Can anyone remember what kind of... Can anyone remember... Do you know who Jesus is? What kind of leader was he? Let's ignore what I said last week, but... Servant leader. Anything else? He never pushed himself, no. He was humble. He had nothing. He was loving, caring. And that's great, that's absolutely what Jesus is like, what God's like. But there is something more, because we saw him telling the wind and the waves to be still. He wasn't just kind and serving, but he had this awesome power over nature. Our sermons at the moment are from Matthew 8. Jesus has preached the Sermon on the Mount, he's healed people, he's just demonstrated that he has power over the wind and the waves. This isn't a normal man. No normal leader, even the best of leaders. He has power that normal people just don't have. It's worth saying, and just hear me out, because I'm not going to preach heresy, but it's worth saying there are limits to his power. There are limits that he puts on himself. God made a decision right at the beginning of time to give people free will. That means they're allowed to make their own decisions, even if that means they do things God doesn't want them to do. That's his gift to us. He doesn't force us. He might ask us to do certain things or to act in a certain way, but if we don't, he won't make us. And when we look around at the world today, we can see a lot of times where people misuse that. On a personal level, people being mean to each other, stealing, lying, cheating. On a global level, wars, greed, suffering. God works in those situations. He directs people to bring about justice, but he doesn't directly hold back the hands of the bully. That's just not how he works. But I want to watch a video clip for a moment. We're going to watch a clip from Bruce Almighty and see something of God's power. I just realised I should probably have checked that you knew what the story was, that you knew what was going on. So Bruce had declared that he could do a much better job than God, basically. If he had God's powers, he could do a better job than God could do. So God met with him and gave him his powers. What would you do? He did panic. What would you do if you had power to do anything? Yeah. Now where's the star? Try and use it wisely. How about you kids at the back? If you could do anything, what would you do? If you had power to do anything?
Heal the sick people.
Heal the sick people. broken-hearted people.
I've got one.
Yeah?
Oh, well, I've got two, actually. Fix the lift at Leyden Station and probably make my life a bit easier.
Fix a lift at the station would make your life a bit easier. Would make a lot of people's life a lot easier. Today we're going to look at another story of Jesus' power. But first we're going to sing it. We're going to sing, "How Great Is Our God, the Splendor of the King." I'm going to ask
The reading this morning is from Matthew 8, verses 28 to 34. When he arrived at the other side in the region of Galilee, two demon possessed men coming from the tomb met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. "What do you want with us, Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." He said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region.
Amen. We're doing things a different way around this week. So the children are going to leave us now, and we'll call you back at the end and we'll do family news after all that, because I know that there's a birthday that we've got to think for and I don't want you to miss it. Children as they come out. Father, thank you for all the children here this morning. It's just so wonderful to see so many of them. I pray that they will have a good time out at Sunday school, that you would bless Debbie and Rose as they take them and care for them and teach them. May they learn something new about you. In Jesus' name. So coming back to our story this morning, to modern Western ears, it sounds like a strange story. We don't focus much on spirits and powers outside the normal. We tend to see everything as explainable by science, or if there is anything more, we don't want to talk about it. In other times and other parts of the world, there's much more belief in the supernatural. If we think logically, we here believe in God, we believe in the Holy Spirit, then we believe in the existence of angels. And why are we so determined to ignore the existence of evil forces in the spiritual realm as well? We have to be careful. Terrible damage has been done to people who have been told they have a demon when in fact they have a physical or mental illness. The two are not the same. But the Bible is clear that spiritual forces, both positive and negative, do exist. It's also clear about which is the stronger. Jesus crossed the lake into a Gentile area where he was confronted by these two men. Just picture that scene for a moment. Luke tells us about one of them, that he didn't wear clothes or live in a house, but he lived there among the tombs. Presumably these men survived by scavenging. If they were so violent, people wouldn't approach them to offer help. So having gone through this furious storm that we heard about last week and nearly drowned, the disciples and Jesus arrive on land to be confronted by naked, dirty, angry men blocking their way. And one of these men shouts at Jesus. But he doesn't shout abuse. He doesn't shout blasphemy. He doesn't swear and curse and threaten. He has a spiritual insight that the disciples themselves don't have. The disciples earlier that same night had said, "What kind of a man is this?" This guy says, "What do you want with us, Son of God?" An interesting question. It implies that Jesus wanted something. When I read this story in Matthew, the one thing that isn't told to us is why Jesus went there in the first place. This is Gentile territory. He doesn't seem to have done anything, met anyone, gone anywhere. He went there, healed the men, the town asked him to leave, and he got back in the boat and went back home again. It's almost as though he did go there specifically to confront these demons. They call him Son of God. The title that was used by Satan at his temptation is used by the demons. The spiritual forces of evil are much more aware of who Jesus is and what he's capable of than the human understanding of the disciples was. They take one look at him and just know. Again, this was a Gentile area. The men wouldn't have been waiting for the Jewish Messiah. They wouldn't have been putting their hope in God. The words aren't the words of the men, but of the demons. And they're afraid. They know that the arrival of the Messiah means that judgment is coming, although it's not yet time for that. They don't want to give up the bodily existence they've had, and they beg him to allow them to go into the nearby herd of pigs. Jesus doesn't waste time negotiating. Fine, go. The fate of pigs doesn't interest him. His concern is the fate of humans. The implication is that if he'd said no, the demons would have had to obey him anyway. Why not do that then? Is he showing mercy even on the demons by allowing them to have it their own way? Is he using the fate of the pigs as a visible confirmation of what he's done? That the men might know that their tormentors have left and been destroyed. The pigs run off and drown. It didn't achieve much for the demons. The keepers of the pigs run into the town and tell everyone what's happened. They probably feel that they have a bit of explaining to do, having lost their entire herd. Is it significant that these animals were pigs, unclean by Jewish law, forbidden in Jewish territory? Is Jesus pushing the boundaries of God's kingdom, cleansing not only the men of their subjection to demonic forces, but also eliminating that which defiled the land for the Jews? It's a possibility. But the townspeople arrive and beg him to leave. To be fair, he had just decimated their livelihood. What more trouble was he going to cause? But Matthew records no response to the amazing miracle of liberation and healing. The power of the living God over the spiritual forces of oppression and bondage has been demonstrated in the lives of these two men. That which kept them as outcasts in society, a danger to themselves and to others, has been released and they're free. Yet the one who brought about that release is too much of a threat. Not just to those powers of darkness, but to the people who have lived alongside them for many years. People who have in some way got used to the demons, who would prefer to keep the status quo than to discover the freedom that Jesus offered. It's strange sometimes to see the reactions of others to the healings of Jesus. The ones who were healed, who have had that miraculous encounter and had their lives changed, are rejoicing and worshipping. Matthew doesn't record this, but Mark tells us that the man who was healed, he only mentions one of them, but the one he mentions asked to go with Jesus. They're full of the wonder and awe and release and excitement of new life. Yet those around them are very often critical, doubting, even angry. In our prayer meetings, we've been reading John's Gospel and the ending of the story of Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead. And the Jewish leaders were trying to kill Lazarus because his very presence was a sign of the power of Jesus. And people were turning to Jesus because of him. We've spoken about the cost of following Jesus. And part of that cost is the opposition we might face from the people around us. Because when we accept the new life that Jesus offers, our lives are changed. When we deepen our discipleship, when we take our faith seriously, our lives are changed. Things that held us in bondage are broken. The powers of darkness in our lives are crippled. Sins that had a hold on us no longer grip us in the way we once did. Yes, we sometimes slip back, we sometimes get things wrong, we sometimes mess up. These men didn't suddenly become perfect. But we're not in the power of Satan, we're in the power of God. As we try to live that out, we find that we change. We don't do the things we used to do, say the things we used to say, react in the ways we used to react. And what happens then is that the people around us who are used to the way things were are affected by our transformation. We hope, don't we, that people will see the change in us and rejoice with us. That people will come to want what we have, that they'll want to know the God who's changed our lives. But sometimes the opposite happens. Sometimes there are people who will say, I liked them better before. That Jesus has ruined your life. The power of God isn't just good news for those who receive it, but it has an effect on those who observe it. Some will be drawn to it, but others will be threatened by it. The townspeople in this story were clearly the latter. They didn't care that these men had received freedom, hope, liberation. Their response was, what does this mean for us? And they didn't like the answer. What about you? What's your response when you encounter the power of God? We often talk about the awesomeness and greatness of God. How great thou art, we sing. Show your power, O Lord our God. And perhaps we do genuinely mean that. Perhaps we do want to see God doing great things in our lives, in the world around us. But perhaps we don't really realise what that means. The power of God isn't just about the humility and service of Jesus, the guy who will step in and calm our storm. It's about the power that turns lives upside down. The power that will change things, that will affect relationships, habits, attitudes, that confronts our sin and drives it out. That doesn't just come to bring peace, but sometimes brings with it anger and alienation. In the early days when Peter first met Jesus and Jesus enabled him to have the miraculous catch of fish, Peter responded by saying, get away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. I think sometimes in our talk of the love and the humility of God, we lose sight of the transcendence of God, the otherness, the sense of his greatness. Yes, Jesus was a man and Jesus is God and reveals God to us. But God is Father and Spirit as well. There are many more ways in which God is not like us. When we're confronted with his glory, his power at work, the fear of the Lord is very real. So the question becomes, will we embrace that fear? Will we welcome the change God wants to bring to our lives? Or will we beg him to leave us alone because we cannot handle it? Will I look at the transformation he's brought in someone else's life and rejoice with them? Or will I wish he'd left them in the mess they were once in because it disturbs my peace? Jesus has proved his power over the forces of evil, of Satan and demons, sin and death. He offers liberation, freedom, a whole new life. Are you prepared to take it? If you have received it, are you prepared to offer it to others? Do you really want to see the change that the power of God could make in this church, this community, and this world? Think about it. Because it's scary. Not just because of the awesomeness of God, but because it upsets the status quo. If you're changed by God, it might be difficult. If the church is changed by God, if the church is full of the living and active power and glory of God, it's likely to be different to the church you once knew. That might be uncomfortable for some of us. Our place in the church might feel threatened. But God's concern is not for our place in the church. His concern is for the men and women held in bondage by the powers of darkness, where he wants to bring liberation and life. Let us look then for the places in which God's power is at work. Let us see what he is doing in us, in the community, in the wider world. And let us embrace and celebrate that. Let's not turn away from the work of God because it doesn't happen to suit us or fit our understanding, ignoring the miracles he's doing in the lives of others. But let's love and rejoice with those who are being changed. And pray again for an outpouring of the wonderful and liberating Spirit of God in our own lives. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you that you are holy, glorious, awesome. God of power and might. I confess for myself, and perhaps others here will agree with me, that sometimes when I ask to see your power, I only want that bit of it which is comfortable for me. Lord, would you forgive me? Would you enable me, enable all of us, to rejoice in your work in our lives and in the lives of those around us? Would you give us grace to accept your will even when it disturbs our comfortable status quo? Show us the ways in which you are working and strengthen us to welcome you and join with you rather than sending you away. May we know the joy of your work of liberation, release and hope in our own lives too, by the power of your Spirit. In the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. So we come and sing again, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. It is slightly different to the normal version of Amazing Grace that we've sung. So make sure you're listening to the music.
I would try and play it right, but it is a different time. It's the same, but it's different, if you like. It's a completely different timing. So try and come with me, and I'll try and come with you.
Mike, do you want to play the first verse?
Yeah, so
then we'll start. Thank you. And Lord, we lift to you those situations in the world that concern us. Those situations where evil seems to be having its own way. We know that your power is greater. Lord, would you bring about peace in conflict? Would you teach world leaders your ways of truth and love? Would you bless those working for peace, feeding the hungry, welcoming the refugee, giving hope to the hopeless? Would you strengthen and encourage those who are forced to flee from their homes? May they find places of peace. And Lord, we look forward to the day when your kingdom of love, peace, wholeness and justice reigns throughout the earth. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Neil, would you be able to go and ask the children to come? Thank you. Margaret to come up and bring a story that she's got to share. Is that okay with you, Margaret?
The minister of my last church had a saying that there is no such thing as a coincidence. It's probably a God moment. And I'd like to share with you a story to do with my daughter who had a God moment this week. She was due to go to the dentist for a normal 6-monthly checkup on Thursday. And as I've been FaceTiming in the couple of days before, she said, "I've got a bit of toothache, Mum. I think it's my wisdom teeth." Well, I had to have my wisdom teeth taken out in hospital, so I thought hereditary. Anyhow, she got in and was having a checkup, and the dentist said to her, "No wonder it hurts, Elizabeth. Your wisdom teeth has split. It needs to be taken out." Now, we go to quite a big practice. So he phoned downstairs to one of his colleagues who was qualified to do that sort of operation within that dental practice. And this other man had just had a cancellation, and they took Elizabeth straight down and had the tooth removed there and then without any chance of worry, thinking about it or anything. And when they had it out, the dentist said to her, if he hadn't been able to do it, she would have had to go into hospital. There'd have probably been at least a 5-week wait, and she would have been in agony in the interim. So I thank God she hasn't suffered for those 5 weeks.
I mentioned a few weeks ago that growth grew on the side of my head, and I went to the doctors, and she was quite worried about it, and she said that really needs to be seen to my dermatologist, and that's fine. She made the appointment, and I was quite concerned about it and prayed, and but then it just went all from being a really visible growth. It went. Well, I saw a dermatologist last week, and she had a look, and she said, "I can see where it was, but it's no longer there, so nothing to worry about."
Do we have any other family news that people would like to share?
I would like to share this with you. It's happened sometime during lockdown, or when we just before lockdown, we gone out down to Lee, and a couple of weeks before that happened, I actually prayed, not in a proper prayer. I was just talking to God, and I said, "I need some Bibles. I said, I desperately need some Bibles. Okay, I need 3 Bibles." I went out a couple of weeks later. We went down to Lee. My sister was with me. I don't know if she remembers this. Yeah. And we was walking through Lee. I think it was a high street there somewhere. And come across this bench with this man standing behind it. Lovely man. Blonde hair. I won't forget what he looks like, because I believe I've seen an angel. He had Shalom across his T-shirt, which means had underneath that piece. Beautiful sunny day, but on this bench there was hardly anything. But when I looked on the table, I could see these 3 Bibles in the middle. And I looked at them and I said, how much do you want, you know, for your Bibles? He said, "No, everything on this table is free. Everything." So I said, "Oh, okay." And I looked at some of the paperwork that was on there, but it was in Hebrew. It looked like Hebrew to me, because I couldn't read it. So I picked up one of the Bibles, and there was in English. All 3 of them were in English. And I said, "Oh, I must give you some money for that." He said, "No." He said, "Everything on this table is free." And he's still smiling away. So I picked up 2 Bibles, and I gave one to my niece, and one to my other niece. I gave them 1 each. And I said, "Well, thank you very much." And I looked at the other one, and I thought, I said, "No, I can't be greedy." I said, "I'll leave that one for somebody else." And that was just an answer to a silly question when I was just thinking about God. And these 3 Bibles appeared. And I swear I saw an angel, because there was something about that man. Even my sister and the 2 nieces and my nephew, they noticed it. Something different.
Isn't it amazing how God works? Do you want me to bring it over to you,
Mike? Yeah, they've been moving around. Those of you that were at the church meeting last Sunday will remember that we decided that we would send £1,000 to the Baptist Missionary Society for Ukraine. I've received an email this week as a result of sending that money, I should say. Almost from the very beginning, we have received prayers and notes of solidarity from the very beginning of this terrible day of our life. And that was a quote from a Ukrainian pastor who BMS World Mission spoke to on the first day of the invasion of Ukraine. And it's you that he's talking about. You have shown solidarity from the very beginning. Thank you so much for standing with Ukraine and for your generous gift of £1,000 towards the BMS Ukraine appeal. Through prayer and through giving, you are helping churches in Poland and other neighbouring countries to become safe havens for people who are frightened and fleeing for their lives. You've provided food, a warm bed, and a place where they can feel safe. It's hard to put into words just how much your gift means to those fleeing from their homes. But for people going through the unimaginable, every act of support is life-saving. Encouraging them to keep going and reminding them that they are not forgotten. We're so grateful for the support of Laenda Baptist Church and the impact it's having in this desperate situation. Thank you once again for choosing to give to the BMS Ukraine appeal. And that's from Hannah Sanford, who is one of the BMS World Mission staff. And they actually enclosed an official receipt, but they also enclosed a World Wide Web address for BMS World Mission, because it's there that you can turn to and see the number of lives that are being turned around and transformed through the work of BMS World Mission. I'll put this up on the notice board for everybody to be able to see.
Okay, yeah. Also on the notice board, we've compiled a list of helpful organisations in the area. If anyone's experiencing difficulties or knows anyone who's experiencing difficulties, it's got things like Women's Refuge, Christians Against Poverty, the local resource places that people might need. That is also on the notice board. Notices for this week. After the service now, 12 o'clock, we're going to have a family Easter Bible study, for those of you who are interested, anyone who wants to come. It'll be kind of like Sunday school, but for everyone, really. So anyone who wants to re-experience what Sunday school was like gets to do some activities and watch a video and just learn a bit more about what Easter's all about. Tomorrow, Girls Brigade. Tuesday, tea and chat. Wednesday, Bible study. Thursday, Bible study. We need something on a Friday just to fill up my... Every day, prayer meeting at 8:45 a.m. on Zoom, for those of you who have Zoom. It'd be lovely to see some more people. We enjoy praying together. And heard some lovely things about what God's been doing, and we're going to sing our final song now. Is there not? Okay. We're going to listen to our final song now, and if you can pick it up. It's called Rescuer. And sorry about that. That was my fault. I should have thought about it. I obviously wasn't thinking enough. But it's on YouTube, so we're going to play it, and you might pick it up. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together this morning. Thank you that you do save us, rescue us. Father, would you bless each one as we go from here? Be with us throughout the week. May we know your power and show your love to those around. In Jesus' name.